Well, good morning, church. If you're wondering where Sandy and I have been, we've been in, we're mainly based in our Seaboard Road campus, but we've been going around some of our other locations and just having a great time seeing the broadness, the width of our church. Everything that's going on is good, and I bring you a good report today. God is on the throne. God still loves you, and He still loves me, and that's good news for me today. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. And let's believe God this morning that He'll take His word, plant it deep within our hearts, and that we'll leave this place full of faith with fresh vision, fresh understanding, that we'll see with new eyes. We'll see our reality through the eyes of heaven, and we'll be able to take a hold of our tomorrow through the promises of God, to take a hold of what God has got to say for us in the name of Jesus. Online as well, no matter where you find yourself right now, let's pray. Father, we just come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. It's Palm Sunday, that time when Jesus came through Jerusalem. And Lord, that it was just on the eve of his crucifixion. It seemed like a bad season, but actually it was an amazing season. For the Savior of the world was going to take the sin of the world and produce freedom and life, bring hope, to bring freedom, to bring fresh understanding, fresh vision in our everyday situation, so that we would know how to live, know how to stand, that we'd be a people of promise, a people of blessing, a people who understand the signs and the days in which we live, to understand that God, you're at work in every aspect of our lives. And Lord, we thank you this morning. Your word is powerful, and it will have its way in our life in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, spring is here. I can tell that because my nose is reminding me of that on a regular basis. I don't know about you. I never had any allergies until I came across to Virginia. And now I find my car turning yellow in the mornings, and I have to wash it down every afternoon, every morning. But you know what? You can either see that as a positive or a negative. The positive is there's going to be lots of flowers. The place is going to look beautiful. The sun is going to shine, and we're going to have an incredible day. And that's what I want to talk to you and I about today. We live in an age where we get assaulted with information. In fact, we've got a 14-year-old. He's turning 15. He thinks he's turning about 50, but he's turning 15, and he has access in the palm of his hand to more information than I had when I was growing up. When I was growing up, we didn't have such access to information. Right now, you can look up nearly anything and everything you would hope to. Some of you are checking out when I say something. You're going to check it out and Google it and make sure that I'm telling you the truth. You know what I'm saying? We all have this amazing ability to get a hold of information. The problem is not information. The problem is what you do with it. The problem is how you receive it. And the problem is how you then file that and store that and what that does for your life and my life. Not only do we get information through our little phones, but our televisions, our computers, our whatever screen you have in front of you, you will get information coming at it. You'll get people telling you stuff. You'll get all sorts of things. And today, I just want to talk about dealing with the information that comes your way, dealing with the reports of life. Taking a hold of what the reports of life, what the information you get says, and what to do about it. Now, before we even get to that point, I want to remind you of something. We are believers. Christians are believers. We're meant to be different in the world. What makes us different? Yes, we understand we have a Savior. Yes, we're born again. We are new creations in Christ. We understand that we have a God who loves us. But just as important is that we need to understand we are believers. Believers in what? Believers in the good news of God's gospel. Good news is coming your way. Good news is coming into your life. That He has overcome the world. That you and I are more than conquerors. That you and I will find a way through. Why? Not because of our incredible, special whatever, but because He's there in the middle of the storm with us. We just sung a song about that. We just sung a song in the middle of the fire. There He is standing next to me. No matter where you find yourself, you find the Holy Spirit is with you, standing with you, empowering you to take your way through. My problem, which is possibly your problem, is that I forget. Isn't that amazing that we can forget that the God of the universe, who reached from heaven to earth, who came in the form of a man, who died on a cross and rose again, he came to remind us of his precious promises, that we can forget that he's with us in the middle of our storm. Why? Because we see and hear and get so much information that it overloads our thinking, and we forget to filter it through the Word of God, the promises of God, to recognize that God is for us, not against us. Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul writes, and remember, this is the Apostle Paul. He was being beaten. He's been all sorts of places. He's been in prison. He's not had some of the best things happen to him in life. But he reminds us of this. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think, and then you will learn and know what God's will is for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Good, pleasing, and perfect. God does good. God only does good, and he only wants good. The trouble is, we live in a fallen world that has bad stuff happening every day. You and I cannot escape the bad stuff that sometimes happens around us and in us and through us. We just live with the fact that that is it. But we don't have to stay there. We can make our way through. I want us to actually focus on a text. It's from Numbers chapter 13. I'm going to go to verse 1. Hopefully it's a very well-known passage of Scripture. We're looking at the Old Testament, the children of Israel. Why are we looking at that? The Apostle Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that these things happened to them as an example for us. So when we're looking at what happened in the Old Testament, we're looking at what went on in those people's lives, we're looking at through the grid, what is God trying to teach us and speak to us about this particular situation? These people weren't Spirit-filled believers. They were believers of a sort. They'd come out of Egypt. They had been under bondage. They'd been in slavery. There'd been all sorts of terrible things that happened to them. And God had delivered them from their trouble, and they were on their way to their promise. In fact, they were already partway through their promise, because the first thing they'd gotten was freedom and life. They were now able to step without cruel oppressors, and they were able to make it forward. But the problem was that their heads were still in the old world, not the new world, when it comes to the promises and the purposes of God. Let's go to Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. And it says, I better look at this because I cut and pasted the wrong version. Ever do that? You know, some preachers say, you know, let's go back to paper. And I just love having a Bible on my phone, because the phone most of the time gives me bad information. I like to have something coming into my life all the time that's good information, because if you leave it up to me, I will never find my Bible. Like, I read it and I put it down and I forget where I put it down, and I spend half my life trying to find the stupid thing. But I never lose my stupid phone, because it's got a Find Me app that's connected to my watch, and I press the button and it goes bing and I can find the thing. So I never lose my Bible. Just a little hint for those that lose your Bible all the time. Maybe it's time to go new school instead of staying old school, okay? Now the Lord said to Moses, send out men to explore the land of Canaan. I think that was the first mistake, because I think the women would have seen differently. But anyway, now, send out men to explore the land of Canaan, the land that I'm giving to the Israelites. Now notice, they've got a command from God. It's a promise from God. Send out these people. They're going to explore the land that I am giving them. What's the promise? I'm going to give you this place. What's the problem? He sent men. He said here, send one leader from each of the 12 ancient tribes. Now notice, he said, just don't send any person. Send people that are leaders. Send people that can influence. Send people that actually understand stuff. Send people that can see through the eyes of faith. And unfortunately, they didn't choose to do that. Now I want you to jump down to 25, verse 25, because we're going to pick up on them coming back, because it took them 40 days while they were out there to explore the land and wander around. They'd been 11 days from being out in bondage and under that cruel oppression, and they'd come out of Egypt, and now they were on their way to the promised land. It was 11 days. On their 11th day, they sent out some spies, and then 40 days later, these 12 spies came back and they said this. After exploring the land, this is verse 25. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. And this was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it's indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, in today's world, that sounds really weird. Like, if you think about it, if you walk, that'd be very sticky and milk goes off. I mean, it's. But in that day, that was a saying that said, this is a fantastic place. This is a place where everything is just easy to get a hold of. This is a place that is sweet. This is a place that is amazing. This is a place that's got an ease to it, that it's just going to be an amazing opportunity for us. And they said, here is the kind of fruit it produces. So they actually showed them the stuff. And then verse 28, it says, but the people living here, there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw the giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites all live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. Now, here's my man, Caleb. But Caleb tried to quieten the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once and take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we. And so they spread this bad report about the land amongst the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. And all the people we saw were huge, even saw giants and the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. And that's what they thought too. 12 people went out and had a look at something and had a look at a promise. And 12 people came back after experiencing the promise, and 12 people, only two of them came back looking through the eyes of the promise. Now, these are people that don't have the Spirit of God. These were people that actually were not able to enter into that relationship with Jesus like you and I do. These are people before the cross. These were people that didn't have the Spirit of God living within them. These were not new believers in that sense. They were not like you and I. And they came back, and 10 of them came back, and all they could see was the negative. Friend, I want to suggest there's not much different today. If you look, you'll find plenty of negative. If you want to find it. In fact, Jesus promised it. Jesus promised you will have troubles and tribulation. That's not a promise I want to quote. Jesus promised us that stuff would happen to us. Why? Because we're breathing and living in the world. But the bigger promise is that we can overcome. The bigger promise is that Jesus has given you the ability, that the same Spirit that lives in you is the one that raised Christ from the dead, and therefore He can strengthen, He can empower you, and He can cause you to rise up and have joy in the middle of darkness. How does that happen? I don't know. That's why God is God, and that's why He is amazing, and we're not so amazing. You know what I'm saying? See, 12 spies, 12 people went out. 12 saw with their own eyes. Two of them saw through the promises. 10 of them saw through the problems. There's two ways of looking. You can look through the promise or you can look through the problem. Look through the problems when a doctor gives you a bad report. You can look through the promise or the problem. You don't ignore the problem, but you can see through the eyes of the promise. You know, if you get a really bad, I had a friend a number of years ago who got a report that he was dying of cancer. And he was a young guy at the time. He was 18 years of age and he was dying of cancer. And he was given this report. The doctor said, I'm sorry, but it's terminal. You don't have long to live. Put your affairs in order. Do what you need to do and so on and so forth. And I remember praying with this guy. And it was, to be honest, it was one of the worst experiences of my life. I'm praying for him. He's and I'm sitting there. And you know what? He had more faith than I had. He's sitting there going, you know what? You know what? God is with me. I'm sitting there going, can we please just go to a hospital? Can we tell you just go to a hospital? And he sat there going, you know what? God is with me. I'm not going to a hospital because they can't do anything for me. I'm just going to keep believing God because at the end of the day, even if I die, I win. Wow. Now listen, the story gets better. He went to his doctor after a number of months of going through all this. He went to his doctor and they did a final report. And the doctor said to him, look, I'm sorry, you still have cancer, but it's a different type of cancer now. You've lost this cancer and you now got this other cancer and you're still going to die. And the guy looked at the doctor and he said, you know what, doc, that wasn't what I was believing God for. He said, would you take the tests again? The doctor was a backslidden Christian. And the doctor said to him, well, it doesn't make a lot of sense, but I'll do it anyway. And so they did another battery of tests, took a week or so for those tests to be done and all the rest of it. And he came back completely healed. He's still alive today. He lives down in the country area of Australia. He's got three lovely girls. He was told he'll never have children. I mean, come on. What are you going to believe? You don't deny the facts, but we look through the promises of God. We actually win every time. Even if things go south and bad in that section, in that sense, we still win. I don't know who needs to hear this. I know I need to hear it. I know that every day of the week I need to be looking at my life and looking at the stuff that's assaulting me, and I've got to make a choice of how I will see it, how I will filter it, and how I will let it affect my spirit, because I've got to choose to believe what God has said over what I am looking at in Jesus' name. There was one promise and four problems. The promise was all of this is going to be yours. The four problems were there were huge walled cities. There were giants in the land. People were fierce and warlike, and the land was mountainous and inhospitable. Sometimes that's what life looks like. You know, you become a Christian and the world goes wonderful, and then all of a sudden everything goes south. Everything goes wrong. Everything just, things don't work out. What are you going to believe? Are you going to believe that God can turn it around for good? Are you going to believe that a good God can take this bad stuff and make it work for good in your life and my life and turn it around? He said, but Mark, you don't understand what I'm going through. No, I don't, but he does. I don't know. I don't understand it. But we can walk through it with you. But at the end of the day, Jesus came into this world to bring hope and life, to turn the lights on, to cause us to see differently, to cause us to walk differently, to cause us to have a joy in the middle of problems so that we can actually make a way through and to see God do amazing things in and through our life. That's my conviction. I've been a Christian for 44 years, and I have discovered that God actually is real. He's alive. He's at work, and he's never left me. He's never forsaken me. And I've gone through some stuff just like you've gone through some stuff, but God has been there the whole time, even when I didn't know it and even when I didn't see it. Here, let me tell you some things to how to turn a bad report into a good report. How do you make the information coming your way to actually be something that can work for good in your life rather than work for bad in your life? Here's a few thoughts in just the time we've got together to help you turn it around, to help you to get a fresh understanding and a fresh revelation about it. Here's some thoughts. A report is made good by the Spirit you give it. By the Spirit you give it. You know what? It's either a spirit of faith in the promises of God or a spirit of fear in the problems of life. A spirit of faith in the promises or a spirit of fear in the problems. I know which one I want. I mean, left to my own devices, I'm naturally negative like most people. Naturally speaking, if I do not arrest what's coming into me, if I do not limit the information that I have, if I do not choose to filter that information through the promises of God, doesn't mean we be mindless and brainless. It means that I see stuff through different eyes. I choose to see differently. I choose to live differently. Why? Because there is a greater hope in me than that which is in the world. There is more hope in you. There is more hope in me than we could ever possibly hope to have in one sense. But God is with us. In the middle of the fire, he's standing right next to us. Even when we don't see it, we don't know it. How many times have you said, God, where are you in the midst of whatever it is you're facing? And then when you look back over the process of time, you found him there all along. You found miracles taking place. You found God was at work in your situation. You found he was arranging the situation and the circumstance in the midst of your problems to bring blessing, to bring breakthrough, and to bring increase into your life. He never leaves us and forsakes us. God always makes a way. Now, it doesn't happen the way I want it. It's one of the things I'm going to take up with God when I get to heaven. Like, I've got it all sorted. I know exactly how I want my breakthrough, don't you? Like, I know exactly what God should do, and he should do it right now. And he never wants to do it in my terms, in my way. And that's one of the things I have to choose to surrender if I want his power to work in my life. What spirit are you giving your problems? A spirit of faith, spirit of promise, or are you looking at your problems through a spirit of fear and allowing that to rule your life? What's the next thought that we need to do? We need to decide that a report is made good by the conclusion you give it. First of all, the spirit you give it, now the conclusion. What conclusion are you giving the information? It's so easy to go under. It's so easy to give up. And it's okay to give up from time to time. But you'll find that even when you do give up, the Spirit of God is beginning to stir within you. You'll find if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, if you've asked Jesus to come into your life, that you live differently, you walk differently, and you don't get left alone by God. So even when you give up, you find hope beginning to rise. You find joy beginning to break through. You find something beginning to happen on the inside of you. You find situation, circumstance colliding with your reality in the midst of your problem to find God is at work to lift you in the middle of it. But what conclusion are you giving it? You can either give it a good conclusion. God, you're going to work this. God, you're going to find a way. You don't deny what's going on about it. I happen to grow up, some of you might be old enough to grow up in the old days where we denied the fact that we were sick or something or other. You know, I'm not sick in Jesus' name, but I'm not sick. If you're sick, you're sick, for goodness sake. You know, it's a bit hard, it's a bit crazy. I'm not sick. That's really dumb. But you might be sick, but God is at work within that sickness. You might be facing incredible stuff, but God is at work in the middle of it. What conclusion are you giving? Well, it's going to take me out. It's going to take me down. I don't know how I'm going to make it through. It's okay to live there for a moment. I don't know how I'm going to make it through, but at least add to that. But I know he does. And I know his spirit does. I know he is with me in the middle of it. What conclusion are you going to give it? Oh, bad things are happening in the world and we're all going to die. Well, hello. Yes. We are. But with long life, he promises us. With joy, he promises us. And even if we die, we win. I mean, isn't that funny? So many people, Christians, scared of dying. Well, I don't want to die anytime soon. Don't get me wrong. It's not on my calendar. I haven't put it in my schedule. But I do know this, even if I do, God is going to win. Why? Because I'm going to go to heaven and there's no more tears, there's no more cry. Everything's changed in the whole. Listen, it's to win. Heaven is to die for. What conclusions are you giving the report coming your way? What conclusion? Oh my gosh, the whole world's going to fall apart. Well, God, you're going to work a miracle. I don't know how you're going to do it. I seem lost in the middle of it, but you're going to work it and you're going to turn it around. In the middle of this fire, you're standing next to me. I see you. I choose to see you. I see you. Third thing, a report is made good by the company you keep. The spirit, the conclusion, and now the company. Do you know when you're in a miserable, do you know how many miserable people you can find? There's no shortage of miserable people. Have you ever discovered that? In fact, miserable people tend to find miserable people. If everyone around you is miserable, guess what? You're one of them. So, change it. Listen, what company are you keeping? Now, you don't want the Job's friends. If you know anything about the Bible, Job's friends basically said, just die, you know. You don't want the super hyper faith people who just like, you know, whatever, and they'll lay hands on you and you'll be fine. You want people that will stand with you, people that will remind you of the promise, people that will help you through, people that will take you on the journey. You don't want a bunch of people who will tell you, you're right, it's miserable, and it's going to get worse. You think that's bad. Have you ever noticed when you tell someone your problem, they've already got a worse one? The older I get, the more I discover that. You say, oh, yeah, I got this little thing. Oh, you think that's bad? Oh, I got this. And then someone else is like, I don't want to hang around those people. I want to hang around people that will inject life into me. That's why we have church on Sunday mornings. We're not just here to breathe the oxygen, in case you hadn't realized. We're here to take the faith of the meeting into our hearts and minds. We're here to connect with other people that'll speak life into our situation and circumstance. We're here to form a community of faith that encourages one another. Even if things are going bad, we got a lot of joy. We got a lot of good things going on. There are a lot of miracles happening in the house. And if God can do it for them, He can do it for you. You and I need to get some good company around us. Here's the fourth thing we need to understand. His report is made good by the location you give it. See, information, in my opinion, is neither good nor bad. It's what you do with it that makes it good or bad. It's what you take and where you place it and who and what you deal with and how you put it around you. And it's the location you give it. Bad reports are always hidden in the churning minds of fearful people. You ever found at 3 a.m, your problems are worse? Isn't that weird? 3 a.m, the whole world is about to end. Your life will never be the same again. That, you know, it's just, and 3 a.m, it's so dark and so bleak. And you know, lack of sleep doesn't help. Where are you placing it? Put my trust in Jesus. A bad report is made good because it's always hidden in your heart of believing people. Believing faith, promise. It's hidden in your heart. A good report is always hidden in the hearts of believing people. We don't deny the facts. Don't deny what's going on in the world. Don't deny bad stuff is happening. But we hide it in our heart. Say, oh God, the heart, guard your heart, because out of it flow the issues of life. In other words, I have a heart that can absorb and can respond and sees the promise and reminds myself that God is good and God always does good and He wants good and He's going to do this good thing. He's going to turn it around in my life. See, it's the spirit you give it, the conclusion you give it, the company you give it, and the location you give it. Two spies out of the 12. Two out of 12. The odds aren't in our favor naturally. The odds aren't working for you and I if only 2 out of 12 are going to come back with a good report. Naturally speaking, probably only 2 out of 12 in the room will be naturally positive when it comes to the stuff that comes our way. But every believer, every spirit-filled, God-loving, Jesus person in this room has the ability to turn that report around. Why? Because we have a new nature. We have a new thinking. We have a redeemed mind. We have a spirit of the living God within us that causes us to see differently, think differently, walk different. We're not like everybody else. There's one thing that you get labeled, well, you're one of those Christians. Yes, we are. What makes us different? Because we think different, we walk different. What, so many people want to pull that down. I don't really care what they think. I know that it actually is God at work in my life. And even if things go bad, God is still going to have His way. Listen, listen. Have you not noticed? Have you read the Bible? You'll discover that the first church had super oppression that went on it. The first church, if you read through the Acts of the Apostles, terrible things were going on in the real world. But you know what? Within 300 years, the message, the good news of Jesus had taken over the world by storm. The people's lives were transformed so much so that the world could not stop it. The devil had no way of preventing it, and that the world was taken over by the Christian message. And the whole of the world actually discovered there really is a God in heaven. And the whole of the world discovered hope, life, and faith. So even in the midst of terrible days, God will still have His way. What are you believing for? What are you speaking over your life? What do you see in the day in which to come? What do you see about your life right now? What do you see about your children? What do you see about your family? What do you see about your workplace? What do you see about your situation? It doesn't mean to be ignorant of what's going on. It doesn't mean to not do anything about it. But what it does mean is that you see through eyes of faith and eyes of promise, not eyes of the problem. You're not always one telling me all the problems. You're telling me through faith, that God is at work and he's going to turn this around. Otherwise, we're going to live miserable lives. The promises of God are yes and amen. They really are. You can choose to enter in or enter out. Your choice. You can choose to be a believer in the promise or a believer in the problem. Oh, he's going to take me out. He's going to take me under. That's why you need people around you when you feel like that, that people around you say, no, there's better days ahead. No, God is going to have his way. Ah, God is at work in our everyday situations. You say, Mark, you don't understand. You don't know what I'm going through. I don't. Couldn't be any worse than dying on a cross. Couldn't be any worse than leaving heaven, coming to earth, walking the planet, being rejected by people, and being crucified. It seemed like a bit of a miserable story until the third day. And then on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. The new Adam was born. The new promise was given that there is hope in Jesus, and there always has been, there always will be. And the message of Jesus changes everything. So why are you allowing your problem to occupy the spaces where the promise is meant to be? Let me summarize that up in three words in my 31 seconds left. You got to naturize your problems. Give it your nature and your spirit. You got to culturize, create a God support system around you. And you got to stabilize. Get your emotions under control. Become deliberate in your behavior. Think and act according to the promises of God. We win. I don't know why we don't get it sometimes. I don't know why I forget. In the midst of whatever you're facing, we win. No matter where we find ourselves, we win. So many people just see the doom and the gloom. Do you know the world is a better place than what it's ever been? Do you know why? Because the message of Jesus hit the world. People recognized they were made in the image of God, and we got laws made that way. There's less poverty than there ever has been in the world. There's more access to fresh water than there's ever been in the world. Yet I talk to some Christians and I go, oh, the world's getting worse. We're not in a world war, friend. There are better days ahead. God is at work. And even if everything fell around, we win. That's the message of the gospel. That's the hope you have within you. And in our everyday situation, the devil wants to come and whisper in the darkness around in your life, what a loser. What a shame. How miserable. You're better off dead. Just give up. And sometimes we get into agreement with him instead of agreement with the promise. Friend, listen. That's okay. Even Thomas doubted. Jesus said, here, check out the holes. It's okay to doubt. It's just not okay to stay there. Get yourself some friends. Get yourself surrounded. You go, but Mark, I don't like being around happy people. Ain't that the truth when you're miserable? But what do you need? Happy people. But I don't like those faith-filled Christians that are just faith-filled. They're just always happy, happy, happy. Seems to be a good thing. Because you're always sad, sad, sad. So why don't you try something different? Become one of those happy, happy, happy Christians. Why? Not because you lose your mind, but that you see differently. You understand differently. Your place of where you see and operate out of is different. Let me pray for you. Christians, let me pray for you. Oh, Father, these things happened to them as an example for us, is what your word said, Jesus. Out of 12 people, only two of them came back with a good report. They looked not at the problems, they looked at the promise. Such an easy idea, but sometimes it seems hard to do. And Lord, this morning I pray for my fellow believers in this place and online, that as believers, as a people that have asked Jesus to forgive them of their sins, to come into their life, that we would make a choice right here, right now, to allow your Spirit to bring light and to bring hope, and that the promises of God, which are yes, which are amen, will suddenly come into view in the name of Jesus. That we'll surrender the negativity, that we'll surrender what we currently see to what we know, that there's another in the fire standing next to me. When I feel like I'm drowning, there's someone holding back the waters. When I feel like giving up, there's someone who's got my arm, who's never going to let me go. Oh God, that this morning we would see the gospel, the truth of what being a Christian is all about. It's about broken people finding hope, life, freedom. Oh God, joy, true life. That in the midst of our everyday living, we can't help but win. We can't help but fall forward. Bad stuff may happen. Even the world may fall apart, but you will never leave us or forsake us. And your people will continue to have joy and peace. Lord, I speak that into the life of people right here, right now. Lord, I speak faith into people's lives. I ask for a gift of faith to flood into people's hearts and minds in the name of Jesus. If you're facing incredible obstacles right now, whether online or whether in this room, I wonder whether you, just while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, don't tune out, whatever you do. If that's you and facing incredible obstacles, why don't you give me a little wave so I know who I'm praying for? Yeah, yeah, I see them. More importantly, God sees it. Now you need to surrender to Jesus and allow His light to come into that situation. Father, in the name of Jesus, for all these wonderful, beautiful people that you love, that you died for so that they could be free, may they find freedom and hope. Lord, bring people around them that will speak life. What the enemy has tried to steal and take, Lord, turn it around and work it for good in the name of Jesus. Father, do what only you can do. Do the miraculous. In Jesus' name. Friend, look at me. I don't know where you're at right now when you walk with God. I said 44 years ago, I was a young man, young boy, and you can tell I was about 3 years old. And I walked into a meeting. I wasn't a believer, never grew up a believer, didn't grow up in a Christian family. But there was just something about that meeting that put hope in my heart. I had it all figured out in my mind. I had it all sorted. But that day I realized there was so much more to life that I'd missed out on. I don't know where you find yourself in your walk with Jesus. But if you've never asked Jesus into your life, maybe you've called yourself a Christian all your life. Maybe, I don't know, you grew up in a Christian family. But if you've never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin and to come into your life, today is a day that needs to change all of that. It's just simple. It's so simple. Being a Christian is so simple. People want a formula. You know what it is? It's going, God, I surrender. I'm sorry. I've made mistakes. I'm sorry. And I want to live for you. Come into my life. Make me brand new. Give me a fresh start. Turn the pages. Let there be a new chapter. Change me. Let me see differently. Let me walk differently. Come into my life, Jesus. I surrender to you. It's so simple. It's a little prayer. And then we start that journey of walking it out with God. You've got to hang around some other believers. You've got to get to know what this new life is all about. But it's as simple as a prayer. Your eternal destiny. You can face life with Jesus or without him. Your choice. But oh, friend, I'm telling you, and most of the people in this room can tell you the same, it's much better when you face it with him. So many people say, well, what have I got to give up? Just hell? Just death? Just life without hope? Seems a good exchange to me. I'm not promising you that your life will be just go wonderful. I'm promising you that there'll always be someone that'll be with you in life. Can we close our eyes and bow our heads one more time? There are people in this room and you need to make your peace with God. There are people online, 9 people already have chosen to make a decision to allow Jesus in life. But if you this morning, you need to allow Jesus to forgive you of your sin. Maybe this is the 50th time you prayed this prayer. I don't really care. But if you know that you need to make your peace with God, then right now, give me a little wave so I can lead you in a prayer. We're going to all pray this together here. Are there others in the, on my right? Your left? Yeah. God bless you. It's going to be a new day for you, friend. Others? Others in this place? Yeah, I see that one. People all over this auditorium are putting their little hand up. Online, people are pressing that button. Here's what I want us to do. I want us to pray this simple little prayer. And we're all going to pray it with you. And we're all going to believe together. So let's go. Dear Jesus, I ask you right now to forgive me of everything I've ever done wrong. To come into my life. To give me hope and joy. To make me brand new on the inside. And give me a fresh start in life. And I thank you, Jesus, that you hear my prayer. And that from this moment on, I'm a believer. That my life will be different. In your name I pray. And everybody agreed together and said, amen. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord some praise in the house.